Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for coming on today and speaking to our listeners. How are you?
Hi, Christina. I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. I was really, really interested when I heard what you do for a living. It's a very interesting profession. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about your journey and what led you to the type of work you're now doing?
Sure. Well, I had been working for 25 years as an art dealer, and after my third child went off to school, I decided I wanted to change careers and dedicate my work to help families in crisis, especially those who were going through separation and divorce. The reason, one of the reasons was that I myself was divorced in 1989. I had three children, and unfortunately, I understand too well the stresses and the anxieties that accompany this divorce,
Mm-hmm.
So in the year 2000, I started training to become a mediator and did many, many hours of volunteer mediation in community centers. I've been on the panel of the family courts of the five boroughs, and I have my private practice as a divorce mediator, and I really enjoy the work that I'm doing.
It's really fascinating. I personally didn't know that such a service existed. And
really?
No, I really didn't. I didn't know that it existed for couples and such going through divorce. And could you tell the listeners a little bit why it would be a good idea to consider mediation instead of going straight to the divorce lawyer?
Sure. I'll give you some comparisons between one mm-hmm. process and the other one. First of all, mediation is a confidential and safe place. I meet with both parties together in my office, and I help them work out all the issues that they have to work out in order to get a divorce. And the way the mediation process works makes it much more amicable, much faster, and certainly much less expensive than if the parties were going through an adversarial process. In the adversarial mm-hmm. process, the parties have to hire separate lawyers. They pay huge retainers to the lawyers. And then usually what happens is the lawyers talk to each other, they talk to each of their clients, and then they talk to each other again, and it's this back and forth, and they usually tell their clients not to communicate. In mediation, on the contrary, we encourage the parties to communicate, especially when they have children. It helps them start again communicating so that they can learn how to deal with each other and resolve all the issues that they have to resolve. Now, it doesn't mean that the parties cannot get legal advice during the mediation process. If they have mm-hmm. questions, I encourage them, and I have lawyers that I work with who will encourage them to get advice to know what their rights may be or what would happen if they were to choose one, you know, make one decision rather than another. And at the end of the process, the mediation process, I draft a document with all the agreements that they made. And I also tell my clients that they should each have separate legal review. Because I'm a neutral person, I cannot give them advice. I can mm-hmm. give them information on the law, but I cannot give them advice. So a separate attorney can look at the agreement from their point of view and recommend, you know, if they think that any changes should be made, if they can just go ahead and sign them like that.
Interesting. And can you tell us a little bit, like, how would you facilitate communication? Because I can imagine that two people coming in for a divorce, it's already quite heated and kind of a lot of anger between both sides. How do you help them facilitate communication between the two of them?
Well, that's a question that many people ask. And actually, some people call me for mediation and they say, somebody told us it was good to come to mediation, but we can't even talk to each other without fighting. So my first answer to this question is, if you were not fighting, first of all, you may not be getting a divorce, and second, you wouldn't require the help of a mediator. The mediator mm-hmm. is there to help you because you are not getting along, because you're not able to communicate. And so I tell them, listen, if you don't want to talk to each other, don't talk to each other. You talk to me. You each talk to me and tell me what you have on your mind. I'm going to ask you questions. You're going to answer. And I will make sure I understand what you're saying. And then I'll talk to your spouse. Well, of course, we're all in the room together. And mm-hmm. your spouse will answer what they want or what they need, and I will reflect what they say to make sure I understand what they're saying. And little by little, as the parties speak to me, mm-hmm. they actually don't even look at each other sometimes. But little by little, as the dialogue stops coming through me and I kind of reflect what each of the one says and gives the answer to the other, at a certain point, it goes around the three of us and they start communicating with each other. It's a very interesting process, but it most always works because they start communicating either to say to each other, no, you won't do it like that, and they're mad, or they'll say to each other, oh, I didn't know that you thought like that, or maybe that's a good idea. So it just kind of like a magic, like a magic wand somehow, the way that the process works is that they start communicating after a while. But I tell them not to worry, that I'm going to speak to each of them separately, even though they're in the same room. They should just speak to me and not worry about the other person.
Yeah.
And it just starts happening.
Yeah, I like that you also mentioned that you while you facilitate, you mirror back what they're saying and say it back to them. So I think one of the biggest things that really prevents couples from really coming to an agreement or working things out is that they're so heated and angry with their own point of view that they're not even open to hearing the other point of view, and then both parties do not feel heard.
That's right. And so when I mirror back, it's not only to make sure that I'm understanding what they're really saying, but also I repeat it in different words to help the other party understand it as well. So it has a double effect. And sometimes what the people are saying is hiding what they really need underneath. So it's not only hearing what they have to say, but also I ask questions to really understand what is causing them to want that particular item. For example, you know, we're talking about division of property, and somebody might want a piece because it has memories for them, and the other one might want a piece because it has more financial value. But they haven't really expressed that to each other, and so I'll help them explore, why is it that you want this? What does it mean for you? Is it because it has a certain amount of financial value? Is it because it has memories for you? Maybe you don't want it because it has memories for you. What is it that you like about it? And they'll ask the same thing to the other person. When we talk about parenting agreements and they talk about schedules and time with their children, you know, they can say, well, I want the children from this time to that time. And I'll try and understand, well, what are your hours of work and when are you available? And, you know, what are the activities of the children at those times? And so who would be the parent who would be better in a position to go to soccer and why, and why would this parent? And so it's not only the hours, but also what activities the children have and who has been with them during those activities or who wants to participate in some activities. There's more than just what's said, you know, in the beginning. It's always an underlying cause or reason that can be explored and can help them craft an agreement that really is going to be fitting for them.
Yeah,
and
I like
the mediation.
It is. It sounds amazing in that you're going deeper than the words, because we've all heard that communication is 80% in not the words said, but everything else, the body language, the tone. And what
Absolutely.
I like is that, yeah, and since you're coming from a position of complete detachment, unemotional, third party, you're not having to bring all this baggage to the table or whatever. You're completely able to hear what each party has to say fully. And what I think each party begins to like about it is that they're fully heard for the first time. And a lot of couples, I believe, probably have problems really communicating their feelings to each other. And now here's someone who can really pull apart what they really are feeling and thinking and put it on the table for them so that each party can examine it.
I think you're absolutely, you've reframed what I said very well. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, I want to hit on something else, Jennifer, because this bothered me, because I came from a divorced family myself. My parents divorced at 16. And a very interesting... Yeah, I know. It wasn't fun at the time. But I found a very interesting phenomenon happened with a lot of my parents and a lot of other parents going through divorces, is that one party or the other would want visitation rights of the children or more time with the children. And sometimes it wasn't so much based on wanting to be with the children so much, but because the one party, usually the father, would have to pay a child support, and he felt, well, it's my right because I pay child support, I should get time with the children. Did you come across that sometimes in your work?
Well, in New York State, the law requires that the parent who has the less nights with the children pay child support to the other parent. And the child support is calculated as a percentage of the income. And actually, both parents' income is taken into account. And the child support has two components to it. There are some parents who talk about, well, I pay child support, so I want to, I expect to see more of the children. Mediation encourages both parents to be part of the children's lives. And what I tell the parents is that to try and separate the financial part and the time with the children, and to remember that this is for their children. Their children have to have the benefit not only of having both of them in their lives, and of having also, hopefully, the financial support that they can continue to have the activities and do the things that they've been doing up to now. So to use the child support as a kind of a tool to request the children seems to me a little bit hurtful to the children. And so I really tell them, separate the money from the children. We talk about the schedule. We talk about when each of you have the time to see the children and when you want to spend time to the children. And after that, we can talk about the child support and see how both of your incomes can be used to have you live the best way you can separately, and for the children to continue to live the best way they can. As I said, child support has two components. One of it is to cover the basic child support, to cover a share of the rent, utilities, food, and basic clothing. That's the basic child support. And that is calculated, it's a mathematical calculation based on income. And then there's all the other things that they call the add-ons, and those are unreimbursed medical, child care, educational expenses, allowances, cell phones if the child is at that age, camps, extracurricular activities. All these activities are paid by both parents proportionally to their income. So it's really, the state tries to help parents craft agreements that are going to be constructive and that are going to be that are going to encourage both parents' participation. So it kind of pains me to hear people use the child support as a tool. I think it should really be separated and put aside and treat the time with your children differently than the money that's being given for them.
I agree.
And certainly not use the money against the other spouse, because the children are the ones who are going to suffer.
Yes, absolutely.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, my God, completely. It makes complete sense. And I like hearing that, because I have heard not only in the case with my family's divorce, but with other close friends of mine, that they had that similar thing happen to them. And it's quite sad, and I understand that when couples go through a divorce, there's a lot of heated anger, and then money's kind of used as, like, get back at the other couple, other person. And it's just not a good idea, because, like you said, who's stuck in the middle is the children. And you both parents love your children, so don't use money to hurt your children.
That's right. But you love your children, and the children need you. And sometimes when people get very excited and very angry and very heated in the midst of the mediation, I will let them talk about that for a little bit. But then I will try and say, listen, I understand that you have problems between the two of you, but let's for now put those issues between the two of you aside, and let's think about the children, are those that we're talking about right now. And I often say to them, well, if you have a picture of your children, let's put the picture here on the table. And while you feel that you're getting really upset at each other, let's look at the kids, and let's remember that we're here to talk about them right now, and we want to do what's the best for them. And then you can deal with your anger with each other, at another time, in another place, in another setting. But right now, let's focus on your kids. And this is hard enough on them. So let's try and really focus on what's the best for them. And that's really where I'm coming from. I went through a divorce. I had three young children. It's painful. It's hard. And the children are going to suffer consequences. So I'm trying to help parents spare them as best they can.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'd like, if you could tell, I'm curious, During your mediation, because this is something I didn't know it existed, but it's wonderful. I wish my parents had gone to a mediator. I think it would have decreased a lot of the anger between both sides and maybe helped them come to a more, you know, nicer agreement with each other. But with you working with clients, have you ever come across a couple coming in for a divorce mediation that actually changed their minds and about separating and worked out their differences?
Actually, yes, I did have a situation like that. You know, when couples come to mediation and they start talking about a separation, sometimes they hadn't really thought about it. They say, oh, we want to get separated, but they hadn't really started discussing it, and so it becomes much more real for them. Mm-hmm. And as they start talking about these different plans and they're going to be separated for Christmas and for Easter or for whatever holidays they celebrate, it starts hitting home and they're thinking, oh, well, maybe we should try and see if we can avoid this, and maybe we should try and see if we can work it out. And I once had a couple, actually, they came to discuss, the first thing they wanted to talk about was a parenting schedule and how they were going to each see the kids separately. And I noticed during the course of the conversation that they kept going back to each other, and I asked them if they had really, they were really sure that they wanted to separate, because I still felt their disconnection between them. Mm-hmm. And I asked them if they had gone to counseling, and they had never even considered. They just thought because they fought a lot, they had to get a mm-hmm. divorce. So mm-hmm. they were going for the divorce. So I explained to them that I was always going to be there and I could always help them do a parenting plan, but that maybe it would be good for them if they gave it a chance, gave it another chance, and tried to see someone who could help them work things out and explore a possibility of working things out. And if it didn't work out, then they could come back to mediation, but take that extra time. And so I left the room, and I left them for a few minutes so that they could discuss this. And then they called me in, and they said, you know, we've thought about it, and you're right. We want to give it a try. We want to go to counseling, but could you be our marriage counselor? And so I said I really couldn't be their marriage counselor. This is not what I do. But that I could recommend someone, and if it didn't work out, they could come back and we could continue the conversation where we left it. And actually, I've never heard from them. So
yay.
I'm hoping that they go. Yes, I'm hoping they got back together. And the other thing is, for those couples who are going to continue in mediation and are going to go towards divorce, quite often they start coming very angry. And as the divorce mediation process progresses, they learn how to communicate with each other, and they learn how to work things out. And I give them homework so that they don't have to spend as much time with me in the sessions, and they get used to working out things together. And so I have forms and documents that I can give them during, you know, in between sessions that they can work on. And quite often they start doing that, maybe not after the first session, but after two or three, they'll start coming back to me and say, you know, we sat down and we spoke and we worked this out and this is what we want to do. And I just have to review it with them and put it in the agreement. But it's really a very powerful process.
Well, you know what I love? What I'm hearing here, it sounds so pertinent that people should actually, you know, maybe come to a mediator prior to getting married just to work out any discrepancies as far as what belief systems and way you run, you know, because I think a lot of people get married and they have their own belief systems, their own way of living life, and then you bring these two converging lifestyles together and there's tension and conflict.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that end up in often divorce or separation, when all you really needed is communication to really understand both points of view.
That's right, Christina. And I actually do prenuptial agreements. People come to me to work out prenuptial agreements before the marriage. Sometimes they're very young and they're a little scared to discuss finances or discuss how they're going to share finances. I'm not even talking of people who have property. That's a separate thing altogether. But even young couples who have not really, they're afraid to talk about things which might be a little bit, you know, difficult to discuss. So they come to mediation and they talk about, well, how are we going to share finances? Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to write the checks? Mm-hmm. Some basic things sometimes. And sometimes, especially with second marriages, they do want to have prenuptial agreements. I also have couples who come in for trial separations. They haven't decided yet, but they want to try for 6 months to live separately and see how it goes and try and work things out while going to marriage counseling. So they'll come in and we'll work out an agreement for 6 months and how they're going to spend time with the children during this trial separation, how they're going to continue paying their bills during this trial separation, and to give them time to really think about if they want to continue their lives together, if they want to separate. I also see couples post-divorce. I see families who are divorced, the children are growing up, they came into mediation, the kids were 1 and 3, they had an agreement. Now the children are teenagers, their activities are completely different, and they're not able to work out new schedules. So they come back to mediation to kind of tweak the agreement and work again on the parenting schedule. The child support is going to change because salaries go up, people lose their jobs, situations change, so they need help in reworking the child support. There are all sorts of reasons that they can just come in for 1 or 2 sessions just to, you know, help have this conversation about whatever issue they need to work out. I have people who come in to talk about, I don't want my child to be with his girlfriend because how do I know who this girlfriend is and if she's serious? So they talk about, you know, what boundaries they're going to set and when is it okay for them to introduce a new partner. Very often, actually, that goes in the divorce agreement, but sometimes they come to discuss it afterwards because they fight about it.
Yeah.
So mediation can be helpful for all sorts of things and also other family crises. I have mediations with grandparents involved who want their time with their children and their with their grandchildren, and their children are not really listening, and so they come together. I've had 4 and 6 people in my office for sessions around family issues. I work with blended families. You know, people are divorced, they're remarried, now they're children from both sides that are brought into the same house. Who, you know, one parent is more strict than the other. What are the responsibilities of the children? They disagree on, my child should make his bed. No, my child is not supposed to make his bed. Or, my child has to help pick up after dinner. And my child, why should my child pick up after dinner? There are all sorts of things that people, you know, argue about. And all of these things can be worked out in mediation in a calm and safe place where I try and make it easy and I try and help them, you know, de-escalate the anger and just look at it like, okay, it's a little bump on the road. Let's talk about it and move on.
Yeah.
And that's what I love to do.
I love it. And you know what I also love that you mentioned is that any agreement you make is open for renegotiation. If things change in life, I think a lot of people get scared about prenuptial agreements or post-separation agreements because they feel they're locked in this contract and, oh my gosh, what if things change? What if I start making more money or vice versa or whatever happens? I get married again. You can revise the contract and go back and sit down with mediation. Yeah.
You can revise not only that, but in the agreements that I draft, there's always, the child support revisions. There's a paragraph about that when they want to make child, even if they don't come back, they decide they're going to revise the child support yearly at the time of taxes or every 3 years. If there's a loss of job, if there's a disability, if there's, you know, all these things are discussed and put in the agreement. And I have parents who want to discuss who's going to pay for the wedding of our daughter and who is going to, I mean, they discuss all sorts of things in the agreement. And if they don't, actually talking about prenups, I had a couple who called me recently and they had a prenup and they were getting divorced, but they didn't want to follow the prenup. They wanted nothing to do with their prenup. And they were wondering if they could do that. And I said, yes. So they came in. We worked out. I helped them work out their divorce. And they brought in the prenup, and they went through the prenup, and they wanted nothing that was in the prenup. So I put that in the agreement. I said that they had a prenup, but the parties have decided that they do not want to follow the prenup that was drafted on such and such a date, and this is what they're going to do for their divorce.
That's great, because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, some people get married quite young in life, and you're not even certain the direction you're going in yet. And
of course
yet,
not.
You know, 20 years, yeah. And yet 20 years down the line or so, you might get divorced, and all the things you had originally worked out are no longer valuable to you. Things have changed.
Right. They're also postnups, actually. Some people get married, and into the marriage, they want to do postnups. They come into money from a family, or they have a business, or they want to make, you know, they have decisions they want to make about things, and they come and they want to draft an agreement. How are we going to treat this you know, gift that I received from my parents, or how are we going to treat this new business? What are rules are we going to put in for ourselves? And those are called postnups. They don't want to get divorced, but they want to have an agreement on some things that come up during their marriage.
And that's great to know that exists for people out there, because I know, like for myself, I've started my own business. Let's say I was married and I started my own business, started to take off. Now, how do we define this business? Should the eventuality that me and my husband get divorced, how are we going to break up the assets and stuff? So it's a good idea to work that all out ahead of time.
That can be worked out as well.
Awesome.
That's the beauty of mediation. Anything you want to work out can be worked out.
I love it. I would like to find out, you know, I know you have vast experience in this. What have you seen in your vast experience, some of the mistakes couples make when they're considering divorce or separation?
Well, actually, I wrote a whole newsletter, which is published on my, which is on my website, which is called 12 mm-hmm. Critical Mistakes to Avoid When Considering a Separation or Divorce. Mm-hmm. And I can give you a couple of examples, but if people are interested, they can go to my website and they can get the whole newsletter.
Sure. But, give them your website if you could.
Yes, it's www.safianmediation.com. I will spell that, www.SamAFNancyMediation.com. SafianMediation.com. So
okay, and Jennifer, if they'd like to...
And
also I want to mention, because we had talked earlier prior to the phone call, that if you would like to get in contact with you for a free consultation, how might they do that? What is your...
Sure, they can either contact me through my phone number, which is 212-472-8626, or they can send me an email at js, like Jennifer Safian, at safianmediation.com. And all that information is on my website. So I offer a half an hour free consultation for couples to come in to discuss. I can explain to them the process of mediation. They can meet me. I think it's very important that couples meet the person they're going to be working with. I want to make sure that they're comfortable working with me. And also I help them assess if their situation is appropriate for mediation. Some cases may not be appropriate for mediation, so we need to make sure that their case is good for mediation. And I would tell people that they have to examine their options. They should not make rushed decisions. Also, not to listen to 20 different opinions from 20 different people that are around them. People are often misinformed. They mean well, but they're often misinformed. Better talk to a professional, get the information, and then start the process when you have the proper information and you're working with somebody that you feel comfortable with. I think that's really important.
No, I agree. So I'll let you give the couple or two examples you'd like to give when couples are making a mistake considering divorce or separation.
Sure. We actually spoke about one regarding the child support, but... one of the things that I tell people is that they should, first of all, always consider mediation first.
Mm-hmm.
They are always in time to go and get lawyers if they feel that things are not working out. Try and work things out in an amicable way before hiring the opposing lawyers. Don't make any financial commitments before things are worked out with your spouse. For example, people will say, well, I'm going to move out and I'm going to go buy a house. Well, don't make any commitments to a new house before you know what agreements you're going to come up with your husband or with your wife. You know, don't make any commitments to anything, actually, before you know what the situation is going to be. Some people are going to start an own business. They go out and they rent a space and a location and they realize they can't. They're not going to be living in that location. So it's very important to just not make any rushed decisions before they know what the final agreement is going to be. The other thing is, in separating, people often want to think about my money, your money, but the family is a family, and they're going to separate, but the financial, the money has to be there for everybody to be able to make a living and to live as comfortably as possible. So it's important to keep in mind to consider the finances for the family as a whole, even though they're living separately. I think that's very important, so that to make sure that everybody, and especially the children, are going to be okay. And another one, for example, is not to ignore your own physical and emotional well-being while you're going through this process. It's a highly emotional process. It's very difficult. So I recommend that people, you know, join a support group, see a therapist, exercise, eat well, make sure they take care of themselves so that they can go through the process in the best way possible. And if I can give a word of hope, don't look at divorce like it's the end of your life. There is hope. Things get better. And as painful as they may seem at this moment, people learn about themselves, and through crisis, they're going to grow, and they're going to find out that there's going to be new opportunities that are going to show up. A new day will come up, and even though this is a terrible roller coaster, there is hope out there, and things do get better, and things do improve. And everybody who I know has gone through a divorce comes out of the divorce, you know, with some bumps and some scars, but they do come out. And many of us are lucky to make a new life. I'm remarried very happily for a very long time now, 21 years. And I wish that a lot of my clients find happiness after the divorce as well.
That's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. It was wonderful advice. You really educated me, and it's great to know that a service such as yours exists to help couples out there who are struggling. And I want to thank you for coming on today, Jennifer.
Well,
is there any last words?
Thank you for having me,
Christina. Oh, you're welcome, Jennifer. Is there any last words of advice you'd like to leave with our listeners?
My last word is have hope, and have hope in yourself. And, you know, take care of yourselves and take care of your family, and you will get through it. That's really my last word.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer. Thank you for coming on. It's been
You're
wonderful
welcome.
Having you on.